The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Now, the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service are hosting a community event where they will be joined by the island's ambulance service and Hampshire Police. The event is on until 2:30 today, and basically they'll have attendees from the Stroke Association who will offer free blood checks to visitors. Anyone who has a check will be given a free voucher for the Karate and Self-Defence Group in Newport. And our man there is Marco. Is there still a big crowd there, Marco?
There is, Ian. There's a great big crowd. There's at least 50 to 60 people. I kid you not. They're queuing up and all having a blood test. It's very good to see. Plus, they can have a bit of free cake and coffee.
Which is, it's killing two birds with one stone, isn't it? I mean, you know, yes, you're getting a bit of cake and some coffee as well. But also, you know, having a blood test these days is really vital. It's really important.
And it is important. And I've actually had a blood test. And I've got a piece of paper to say I've just crept into the orange area, which means that I could just be a little bit more wound up today, but to keep an eye on it, if I'm a bit worried, go and see the doctor within a month. So there we are. That's just for me. Now, and, so it's well worth doing.
So the orange is because I've checked this out very recently as well. I've been told that my blood pressure was sky high, and I'm now into the orange bit, which is the pre high blood pressure, isn't it?
That's the pre high blood pressure. Yeah, I've just crept over it a bit. So she said, don't worry about that. It could just be walking. It could be a cup of coffee. It could be anything like that. But she said, just keep an eye on it. And if you're a bit concerned, go down and see the doctor within a month and have a full test.
Okay. I know it's private when they do the checks and the tests. But what's the general consensus of people coming out of having the test? Is are they getting good news or?
Yeah, but generally they're in the okay section. There are a few that's gone right into the orange section. And they asked you what your lifestyle is and all that. But generally, she said, the best thing to do is, because it's been checked out, this is a bit of paper, now go along to your doctor and have a full check, because, it is important. You never know. So it is, the outcome from it is excellent, definitely.
Okay, and obviously, this is close to our hearts, and we'd have thought, we wouldn't be thinking we'd have this conversation. We would be having this conversation about Martin Poynter.
No, we wouldn't know.
And we knew that he was fit and healthy, and on the outside, yeah. Underneath it all, obviously, that probably makes it more important for people to go and check things out, because you might be looking all right on the outside, but on the inside, there might be a few things wrong.
As we know, there was a fine example, super fit guy doing everything, and there we are, 49 years of age, tragedy.
Now, the event later on will culminate in traditional switching on of the Christmas tree lights over there at the fire station, and this year it's going to be switched on by Toby, Max and Harry. They're Martin's children, so that'll be a lovely moment later on.
I think it's between 4 and 4:30, just as I'd have a bit of announcement. And I think there's a great big cheque that's going to be distributed on behalf of Martin, some money they've collected. So it'll be quite a touching, but a good afternoon anyway.
And later on, they're going to apparently hand over a cheque for £1,000 to the Martin Poynter Trust.
Which is marvellous, isn't it? Absolutely marvellous.
It is. And then on Saturday, there's another event. There's a car wash being held at Newport Fire Station Saturday, 5th of December, and that's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's correct, mate. And now, I do have a guy here, which is a very close friend of Martin. His name's Trevor Morris. He's the station manager at Newport, and he's going to tell you what his perspective is on the day's events. Okay, so I'll hand him over to you.
Thanks, Marco.
Yeah, mate.
Hello.
Hello,
hi,
there's Trevor. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, very good. Been a good turnout. Really pleased.
Good. You must be really pleased. I mean, obviously, an incredibly popular chap was Martin, so I would imagine that's the reason why, it's being well received today. Lots of people turning up. And, of course, it's early days as well. You've still got another 2.5 hours yet. So did you set yourself a target how many people you were going to get through the doors and have checked?
No, we didn't set ourselves a target. I mean, my experience of holding things at the fire station is depending on those that are willing to come through the doors. It pretty much makes for the numbers that come in. My main intention was that, having been approached by Claire Poynter, Martin's sister, representing the Martin Poynter Trust, she wanted to try and raise money for the Stroke Association on the Isle of Wight and carrying out sort of blood tests for members of the public. So I was all for that, and basically, after a couple of chats, we decided that today would be the day we would choose. And what we've done is we've actually managed to encourage the local ambulance, Isle of Wight Ambulance Service, and also representation from the Hampshire Police to come along to sort of show as emergency services actually being behind this sort of public awareness, shall we say, because obviously it impacts on not only members of the public, as we've seen, but also our own personnel, as we've seen with Martin. So I've no real concern over the numbers that come in. I just want to encourage people to come along, have a sit down, maybe have their blood pressure checked, have a chat with the people that are here, and also there's tea and cake to be had as well. And hopefully at the end of the day we could have made some money towards the Stroke Association donations as well.
Fantastic. Will it be a yearly event?
Well, I would like to think so, because, I mean, this is, as you said yourself, this is early days, and the Martin Pointer Trust is obviously in its infancy. And I think as we go on through the years that it will be something we will try to maintain. Because really and truly, you know, the emergency services is all about safety per se nowadays, and this is an area that we can maybe help people prevent something happening to them. So, yeah, in answer to your question, I'd like to see that happen, definitely.
Now, another cheeky question. Have you actually had the test?
You know what? I haven't. I've been spending too long waiting for Mr. Newland to hand me the phone, but my intention will be to go over and sit down with them, yeah, and have it done. Hopefully in the next few minutes.
And, you know, it, just say, for instance, if you have the test done and it's the, you know, it's in the red or it's not, what will you do about it?
Yeah, I'll go and see my GP and see what he has to say about it. And then if it has an impact on diet or exercise or something that I'm maybe not doing, try and rectify my lifestyle and bring it back to where it should be.
Do you know, it's a perfect answer, and I'm glad you said that, because too many men, and they are mostly men, that will say, no, I'm all right.
Well, you see, I'm in my 50s now, and I've got to think about what life I can have and for the rest of my years.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can't... The trouble is, you're fit when you're younger, you can rest on your laurels, and it's about maintenance, really, and that's what I'm hoping to sort of get across the other guys here today.
I mean, earlier on this year, you know, taking you back, you know, what happened to Martin was a complete shock, and it shook people down to their boots. And, you know, if one thing, one positive thing that comes out of this, it is a case of, hey, look, check out your blood pressure, check these things, and make sure that you keep on top of it. Don't push it to one side. So if anything that we learn out, you know, from Martin's death, is that one thing. We don't take it for granted. We've got to go out and make these checks, because, you know, you make that check today and some changes to your lifestyle later today, and that might mean the difference between living and dying.
I think it's the invisible unknown, isn't it? You know, if you've bruised your arm or you've cut yourself or there's something hanging off, you can see it, but it's what's going on the inside that we don't tend to see. So what you're saying there is correct, and, you know, these people can help.
Well, look, thanks very much for your time, and we're not going to hold you up anymore, because you need to go and get that test done yourself.
Okay, thanks for talking to me.
And pleasure. And don't forget, are you there on Saturday as well? You might want to just give that a plug as well before you go.
Saturday, where are we on Saturday? I'm not here on Saturday.
Oh, you're not even going to bring your car in to be washed?
The car wash, yeah. Well, the car wash is, I don't think they want to wash my car. I think I'm duty bound to wash my own.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, the car wash will be, that's for the Fire Service Benevolent Fund, Fire Service Charity, another great cause for the firemen as well. So if anyone wants to bring their cars along, I'm happy.
How much is it for a car wash?
I think it's generally a donation rather than the cost.
Brilliant. That's perfect. Let's hope you get plenty of people there. That's this Saturday between 9 and 2. Great to talk to you.
Thanks very much.
Cheerio. Cheers. And hopefully we'll get Marco back on now. Yes, I'm fine now, Marco. I'm a bit worried about you because you are pre-high blood pressure. So what are you going to do? Don't laugh. What are you going to do about it?
Well, don't put me under pressure. I'm going to take it easy for the rest of the day, and then I shall probably go down to the doctors over the next 3 or 4 days and have another check. And she said it will, more than likely it will slip down into the right zone. It's probably just sort of, as you know, being given the phone, rushing here, nowhere to park, having a cup of coffee, it just creeps you up a bit, the old pressure. So we'll be all right.
Okay. Well, look, you're in the same position as I am. I'm in pre-orange or pre-high, so, you know, maybe we've both got to do something about it. Maybe it's a glass of red wine a night.
Well, that's what I'm going to suggest.
Okay. Thanks.
A big glass. Anyway, I should come back to the studio and we can have a chat then. But so I think you've got a good précis of what the event's all about today, and that was a good thing from Trevor, a close colleague. So I'll leave you with that then, Ian, OK?
Thanks, Marco. You're a star. See you in a minute. Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers, bye. So, going back to earlier, I can talk about it now because I couldn't talk about it.
No, quite choked up.
It was just one of those things that, like, you just realised that you were taking your life for granted, for one, and you think, if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. And how many people then, after the age of 50, you think, there was a guy today that was on the news, and he's age 50, he had a stroke, and you think to yourself, my God, I'm 50 this year, Martin fell short of a month, how gutting is that? And you just then start thinking those things. But the one positive thing you've got to think about is, okay, it's highlighted something, you've got to do something about it. Mm. And you've got to don't take life for granted. If you can make some adjustments to your life, make some adjustments, because it's really, really vital.
I think we all think that strokes just affect older people. And when you talk older people, you're thinking 70, 80-year-olds.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't. I mean, I've actually, a few years back, there was someone that came in to St Mary's, and I think they were 28 that had had a stroke.
Mm.
And it does actually shock you. And like you say, like with Martin, I mean, I've obviously through those, I've been a bit choked up. You know, Martin was a really good friend. And you just think, like you've said, if it can happen to Martin, who was absolutely into everything, you know, his fitness, his sport, his cricket, out and about with all his children, everything, you know. It can happen to anyone.
Absolutely. I mean, he was always a, you know, super fit kind of guy at school, and always up for a laugh and so much fun. And he just, it took the wind out of a lot of people's sails.
He's left a big hole, hasn't he? There is still a big hole that Martin's left for lots and lots of people, and it's really good to know that that's being supported so well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, like I say, his son's switching on the lights later. Obviously, his daughter won't be there because she's, I do believe she's at swimming college in Plymouth.
She's doing brilliantly well.
Yeah, she is, bless her.
It's a wonderful thing. But, you know, there's out of something that was really, truly dreadful and shook everybody to the ground. I mean, you know, shook me to me boots. There is something positive at the end of the tunnel, and that is it's highlighting things. And you know, and it's the fact that we'll never forget that guy.
No,
because he's just one of those chaps.
Larger than life, wasn't he?
Definitely. Probably the most negative point of my year was hearing of his passing. It really was. And it's, you know, I'm guessing at the end of the year we'll all have a drink over Christmas and remember him again. But we should never forget. But you know, the memories are there, and now it's a case of looking forward. And out of that memory that we've got, out of that negativity, is some positivity, because it's highlighting, hey, look, don't take things for granted. We've got Brandon in the studio, he's 19. When was the last time you had a blood test or a blood pressure test?
Well, believe it or not, I'm thinking about going over there, to be honest, if that's okay. I'm a bit kind of, I don't know, I'm not living a healthy lifestyle. I'm not always going out and, you know, being active and such. I am sat down quite a lot. And
you don't eat well either, do you?
No, I don't.
You eat rubbish.
Much. So yeah, I might go over there. But it's crazy to think as well, because that means I've been here for a year. Because when I first started, that happened, and I remember obviously everyone being quite in the dumps about it. And it's a sad topic, but I'm glad that something good has come out of it. You know, it's like a flower, isn't it? It's separated. It's deteriorated, and now it's growing back again, and hopefully we'll get some good stuff from it.
Well, yeah, I mean we are obviously those people that are now going in and having the test, and hopefully people like Marco, who's been told that you're in the, you know, you're pre high blood pressure, he will do something about it, and that's what it is all about. And I was one of those guys that was somebody said go and do your blood, I'm all right, I'm fine. And then that happened to Martin earlier this year, and it's kind of, right, do you know what? I've even bought myself a blood pressure machine.
Ours was our 50th birthday as well, wasn't it? You know, because, I mean, I got an appointment for the Well Woman Clinic, and they sort of, you know, they chuck all these free tests at you. I've had a mammogram and all sorts, and you think, oh, actually, it's a bit scary, you know, because you don't think about it, do you?
He was in the process. You don't. You say he was in the process of planning his 50th celebration, and I was in the process. And he messaged me to say, "How about a parachute jump?" And I never got back to him because I don't like heights.
Aww.
And you know, that was the last message that he had sent. And there is a little bit of me that says, "Do you know what? You should do that. You should honour that."
do it.
But but Martin wouldn't want you to do it if you didn't really want
my
to.
My blood pressure would go through the roof.
It'll drop when you come out the plane, though.
Do you know, it's do you know, there's certain things that you should be aware of. And okay, we haven't got an expert in the studio talking. You're a nurse. You put yourself down. You probably know the symptoms. Do you know what the symptoms are?
Stroke, it's the whole
blood pressure.
Basically, it's the whole. I remember it from the TV. The whole fast thing. You know, face. If the face drops, or you know, they can't communicate very well. They can't raise both their arms. I think it's above elbow height, isn't it, or something like that? You can't lift your arms, your elbows above your head. It's a weird one. And then time, obviously, for you have to call the ambulance. But that's pretty much, if someone can't speak properly to me anyway, I'll be a bit worried.
Okay, the onset of a stroke will cause extreme physical turmoil, so much so that often victims have trouble walking, and they lose their balance and coordination completely, and even have trouble sitting down without falling. You could stumble, and it could feel next to impossible to get your balance. Just focus in on your balance and coordination. Dizziness, discussed in more detail later in this article, is a common symptom that goes along with balance, walking and coordination issues, because the dizzy feelings can actually sometimes be the cause. Whilst loss of balance is a symptom of a stroke, you can also experience it after a stroke. You may continue to feel dizzy and insecure in your ability to walk without stumbling or falling. According to the Stroke Association, you are more likely to experience balance problems if the stroke affected the left side of your body. Some stroke survivors may only feel mild balance issues, whilst others may have severe loss of balance impacting on their quality of life. Now, your gran, is it your gran?
That's definitely true. My nan had really big problems straight after her stroke with balance. It took her months, almost up to a year, just to walk again. It was actually quite a shock, to be honest. I've seen the aftermath of what happens. I didn't see my nan have a stroke. We actually found her in the morning, and she'd basically been laying on the floor because she had a stroke while getting out of bed, because she's quite an independent woman. She's always lived by herself since her other half passed a few years ago. It was a milkman that found her, because obviously my nan, independent, why, she has everything always up to date. She, you know, I'll roll my own fag, I'll do all this, I'll do that. And yeah, so it was. But seeing the aftermath afterwards, yeah, she couldn't walk, she couldn't speak, she couldn't keep a trail of thought. So like, if you try to have a conversation with her, 1 minute you'll be talking about something, she'll go quiet, and she'll completely forget what you were talking about. It's weird. It's a big change from the woman I knew.
We should spend an hour talking about this.
We should do, really.
Not today, because obviously we've got our guest coming in, and he's on time.
Mm. He's arrived.
You said that he'd be here at 12:30, and boy, he's in before. So we should do an hour. Who's the best person to speak to at the hospital? Let's get him in.
I don't know, I can find out for you.
We'll have like a stroke awareness day, and we'll get someone in, we'll talk about it, and we'll go through the symptoms, what you should do, and so on and so forth. In the meantime, it's going on until 2:30. You can go and get yourself a blood pressure test, and this is at the Isle of Wight Fire Station, the Newport Fire Station. They're going to be there till 2:30, and they're doing it completely free. The attendees are the Stroke Association peeps. They're offering free blood checks to visitors. Anyone who has a check will be given a free voucher for the Karate and Self Defence Group in Newport. They're there until 2:30, and you can make a donation, and the funds will go to the Martin Poynter Stroke Association. So give generously, and you've got until 2:30 to do so. And there'll also be a car wash at Newport Fire Station on Saturday, 5th of December, and that's between 9 and 2. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to move Brandon out of the chair, and we're going to move Ian Jenkins into the chair. We're going to be talking about Ride Arena,
waterside pool.
Okay, anything else? Because he's like a head honcho at the Chamber of Commerce.
He's going to have lots of things to chat about.
Yeah, he's got loads on his plate, I know that. Having an interview with him at the whole business association was fun. He's got so much that he does.
His son's in a band. And by the looks, you know, Marco's just arrived. They've got the same hair colour as well. We shall reveal all in the next segment of the show. We're coming back.
Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
This is Vectis Radio.
Putting the community back into local radio.
Value Rent-A-Car, based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight. It's a secure online car hire booking service. We provide a low-cost, fully inclusive professional car hire and minibus hire service. We have cars available for rental from under £21 a day, if booked and paid for in advance. We take no payments online. Our vehicle rentals are based on a full 24-hour period. Collect at 11 a.m, return by 11 a.m. the next day. Go to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
The House of Chili is located at Hollier's Barn in Branston, between Princelet Chute and Thompson Garden Centre. We stock a vast array of chili-related products from the Isle of Wight. Chili balsamics, relishes, chutneys, marmalades, sweets, snacks, dried mixes, and a vast array of hot sauces from the Isle of Wight and around the world. We have sample tables to taste a wide variety of products. Looking for that unique Christmas present? How about a House of Chili gift pack or one of our luxury hampers? Check out www.houseofchili.com. Ideal gifts for the chili lover in your life.
Beds of Ride, in-town parking in Union Street. Come and give your bedroom an overhaul and treat. No need for sales gimmicks, just value for your pound. With realistic prices all the year round. Includes free delivery if you live in Ride, and only £10 elsewhere, island-wide. Open 10:30 till late, 6 days a week. All that is needed to help you sleep. Beds of Ride. Call 565 151. Also find us on Facebook.
Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance. Saving lives across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Flying 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our helicopter is called out many times a day and we can reach anywhere within the Isle of Wight, including the helipad at St Mary's Hospital, within 20 minutes. Funded solely by donations, we rely upon the generosity of the public to keep us flying and saving lives. To see how you can help, please check out www.hiow-airambulance.org.uk.
Are you an employer concerned about your responsibilities for workplace pensions? Sage have got it covered. If you already use Sage Payroll software, you can add the Sage auto-enrolment module to help you manage your pension duties, enrol your staff and comply with the new legislation. Contact the Asperity Group, that's A-S-P-E-R-I-T-I, on 01983 721548, your local Sage business partner. Visit our website at www.asperity.co.uk or email us on info@asperity.co.uk.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Okay, welcome back then, part two. We've got our guest in the studio. It's Lord Ian Jenkins. Hello Ian, how are you?
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm alright. I'm a bit worried about you.
Are you?
Well, you just let rip that you're 52. He looks well for 52, doesn't he?
That was supposed
he
to be off.
He looks fantastic.
That was off air, that was supposed
nothing,
to be.
Nothing secretive.
Not a grey hair in sight.
Hey, look, we've got lots to talk about. What do you want to do first?
Where do you want to start? With the ice rink?
Yeah, let's do
at the roof.
Let's sort with the roof.
Okay, well, we had a blessing in disguise from our Lord up above, or somebody. And of course, the wind changed direction to northwesterly and ripped the whole of the flat roof off, which was giving us a bit of problems, as you can imagine, prior to that, because it was a few odd water penetration. So we were humming and hawing. We put some feelers out through social media to get a whole range of money coming in, and which Julie picking up on, but we obviously needed quite a bit of money. And it looks as though we've actually agreed that the insurance company will forfeit that cost.
Oh, that's good news.
So that's very, very good news for us. So it's given us the ability then to seal the outside of the building and then start to develop the inside of the building a lot better. Because as you can imagine, there's no point spending money on the inside if the outside's still leaking like a sieve.
Yeah.
So we were very, very, very fortunate with that. And we've got some other contingencies built in to cover loss of income during the period. And we're hoping to reschedule the Christmas ice skating extravaganza, Aladdin.
Right.
So that's all going to be hopefully being put back. There's a few games that we'll miss on the Raiders, unfortunately, that we'll have to postpone. But, you know, by and large, we should be up and running, you know, within 4 to 5 weeks if we're lucky.
It so may in
be
a bit longer. Year.
Well, it's weather dependent, isn't it, yeah. Mac? Because at the end of the day, you know, crikey, you know, if it chucks down with rain for the next 6 to 8 weeks, you're not going to want somebody up on that top of that. I wouldn't want to go up there personally, but
no, absolutely. You
know, and we can't get any tarpaulin above it because it's such a big area.
So it's good news, but be patient.
Yes.
Okay. Divine intervention.
Divine, yeah, possibly, yeah.
Okay,
so that's good.
Well, that's good because I was kind of concerned, like everyone would be. You know, the roof comes off, and then you've got to close the building. The you know matches that you've got, you think right, okay, what's going on here? But you know, obviously those matches will be reset in the calendar,
rescheduled. Yeah, it's an unavoidable situation. You know, you weren't able to foresee something like that, and in business, you just have to. You know, you have to just adapt as you go along. It is unfortunate, but I think it will give us a positive spin at the back of it. So the small bit of pain will be a long-term gain, as they say.
Now, there's a young man, I use the term loosely, because he's probably older than both of us. His name's Trevor, and he's something to do with Riverside Centre. And he keeps saying, got to get Ian Jenkins in. We need more people to come down and watch. You know,
does he drive the green van outside?
He does, yeah.
Yeah. He's just collared me.
So he's...
give him a big community hug. Ian, you're here.
He was looking out for you.
I said, look, he's coming in a couple of weeks. Every time I go out of the building, he's there, like, pouncing on me.
He says, saw that lot round at Vectis Road out, will you? Get some decent things going on in that building.
What a great thing that, you know, basically it's been saved. And does it ever surprise you, the amount of, I don't know, love and oomph behind Isle of Wight people? Because say Speedway was you know, put the knife in a couple of years ago, and here we are, it's coming back because someone's, you know, got off their backsides and doing something.
Does it
ever surprise you?
I think it's very difficult for me to explain. I think it's always interesting when my wife and people come up to me and go, Ian, you know here's £100, thank you so much for saving the ice rink. And my wife's always very quick to jump in and go, well, he's got a good load of people to help him.
<You
know? laughs> I'm trying to stand there taking all the adulation.
Yeah, you want all the credit.
You know, all the credit. And some of these, you know, people are quite attractive, you know, so I'm happy to have any physical interaction and warmth.
Absolutely.
As you can imagine. And she's going to... And I must, you know, face this out. I mean, obviously, I do have a good board of trustees around me, which is first and foremost. But all I tend to do is put my hand up and go, you know, that isn't right. And if you can get your head round that, I suspect, then you'll understand where I come from. You know, it's not right that a facility like an ice rink closes because there's kids in there from 5:30 in the morning. It's community. There's a whole load of social interaction between families all through the ages, you know, grandparents as well as children. There's a whole range of amenities that they put on through the figure skating, through the White Link Raiders. You know, and all the other bits and pieces as well. You know, we've got a bar up there which we're hoping to develop. We've got a whole range of you know, cafes and restaurant facilities, and we've just hopefully we'll be lucky enough on a Sport England bid to redesign the whole place and make the whole visitor experience a lot better. So the changing rooms, etc. And once we can get all those facilities up to speed, then we can start to look at about putting some big music events back on there, which is, you know, is where the money is. And that will be the saving grace of it. So from where I stand, it's right that it keeps open, and that's what drives me on, and it's, you know, where I started with the swimming pool. We shouldn't have all these mechanisms closing on our doorstep. You know, we need local community facilities.
Absolutely.
It's not difficult to understand for our
standing. No, I completely agree with you. It's lovely to know that there are people out there that, you know, like yourself and like the team around you, that really want this to work and are, you know, digging deep with all sorts of things, whether it be cash, whether it be help in some kind of way. That's a nice thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It does show that we've got a, you know, good community.
There's
spirit.
A really good community here, and it's a business first and foremost, isn't it? And I think at the end of the day, you know, it's the 17 people's jobs that would have been at jeopardy. So that's not, you know that, and the secondary spend has a knock on. So if you employ 17 people and they have disposable income, they're going to come and spend it in Newport, or they might spend it in Ryde. You know, hopefully they'll spend it on the island. You mustn't spend your money off island, listeners.
No, wasting your time.
So, you know, shop in the high street. So yeah, the secondary spend has a knock on as well.
So we're coming to that. We're coming to that, you know, because you've got many hats on. And yes, we'll tell you, so let's deal with this one first. And, you know, I'd say there's loads of questions that I want to ask you. Is there a time next year, or are we there already, where you can kind of breathe a big sigh of relief where the ice rink is concerned? Or is it, do you see this in a couple of years' time, or is it looming? Is it?
Well, the big difference we have between the ice rink and the swimming pool is the swimming pool we got off the council for £1, which I haven't actually paid them yet, so I'm not disclosing that publicly.
Ali's got £1.
I'll lend you
£1. Okay. the ice rink has got a landlord, so we have a big multinational that's expecting us to pay a reasonable amount of rent.
Right.
That's up for discussion at the moment. I'm not prepared to pay it in its slightly dilapidated state a reasonable rent at the moment. So we will be working to maximise the revenue from that building. We'll certainly be working towards a 2 to 3 year plan. So the sigh of relief will probably be, I would have thought, 3 to 4 years down the road, I would think.
Lots of hard work and support.
There's a lot of hard work down there, and we have a lot of volunteers supporting us. And as I say, you know, I have a good trustees around me, and we have there's a good lot of love for that ice rink, which I never really realised when we first went in there, but there's a lot of people that have been there for a long, long, long time and have an awful lot of love towards that ice rink.
Do you know what, I'm going back 20 odd years when you know people like Dan Sweeney was going there. I know they were winning title after title after title, and the place was just jammed packed. So if you were one of those crowd of people that went week after week after week and supporting it, you know, to see it the way that it's gone through this change,
you wouldn't
have envisaged it. You really wouldn't, because you thought it was here to stay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and we're the only community owned ice rink in England now. So, you know, and they are shut in. So I just apply some very, very simple business transaction. You have income and you have outcomes. We just need to control both, increase the income, keep a control on the outcomes, and, you know, things will start to happen. It's not a difficult model. You know, what I'm going to be hopefully bringing in 2016, we're going to bring back curling. Now, curling hasn't been played south of Basingstoke, I think, in 20, 30 years. So there's a mechanism that we can easily use during the daytime that's a very good use of the ice rink, that gets other people into the business, into the facility, and then can produce secondary spend on the back of it. So we can have internal leagues on the island,
sure,
maybe across the south coast, and it covers the whole genre of ages. So there's another use for the ice rink during the day.
But it's like you were saying about the music events. I'm pretty certain I went to see Status Quo down there.
Did you?
About 20 years ago when they were down there.
Right.
You know, so you can, the big names do come to the island if there's a facility to do it.
And that'll be the biggest arena on the island. You know, it's a 2,500 seats. Mm. So, you know, if we can start to get that up to a really good standard, you know, who knows what we can do? We only need one event every other, you know, once a quarter. Would certainly generate possibly between 8 to 10 grand on an evening. So that's enough, isn't it?
It's just those little things.
So it's not complex in that sort of context. And I think the thing that I always do is to keep my feet on the ground with any business transactions or any business I've been involved with, is just to keep things simple.
Just ask, talking of simple, ask her what she thinks curling is.
She knows what curling is.
Go on, ask her.
No, that's not fair.
It's an Olympic sport, isn't it?
It is an Olympic sport. And the Scottish winter sport, yeah. Yes, she knows.
Do you know what it is?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's with
Big
they
stones.
Slide along the.
Yeah. I'm led to believe.
They slide along the ice, don't they?
I'm led to believe they're about £24,000 a set.
I think he asked that because you didn't know.
Yes, I think he probably.
No, yeah. I just thought because most people. It's that thing with the brushes and the broom
and the shouting.
And
the,
And we did do well in the Olympics, and we Scots.
I think we did. Great Britain team.
Did we get silver?
I'm sure it was gold. Yeah,
gold.
I think it was Great Britain team, but I think they're predominantly all Scottish girls, weren't they?
How could that be to be hosting an event like that? Down here?
Well, there you go. I mean, and you know, we have quite a few figure skaters that are up training for the British teams and things like that. They're already on the island, you know. So they are there, you know, some of them are figure skating, you know, teams and what have you. So, you know, we just put the seeds down and see what happens.
Okay.
What's the other options?
Well, you can either pack up and go on, which isn't an option.
Nope.
Or you can stand and fight.
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing, which is great. It's I say the spirit thing on the island. Every now and again, things like this come along, and they're challenges, but they don't have to surprise you. The amount of people to get involved.
Listen, in business, I work at obviously at the Chamber of Commerce as well. I mean, there's so much apathy around. It's a terrible island. We haven't got any work for the youngsters. Everybody's going off on it. That's just Goodness sake, what a lot of old tosh some of that is, I mean, I mix with businesses that are multinational businesses, that are worldwide businesses, that are exporting loads of stuff and trying to bring people here. We have a fantastic quality of life here, It gives the ability for businesses to come here. And we need, ironically, places for them to spend their disposable income at ice rinks, at swimming pools, at cinemas. It's not
leisure facilities.
Leisure facilities, collectively.
Mm. So... Is that your biggest frustration when people start being negative?
I think I can't be around people with that high level of apathy. Mm. It's just not. It grates on me. I'm a half glass. What's it? Whatever the terminology is.
It's full.
Glass
overflowing.
Overflowing. Yeah, I'm a half. Glass overflowing guy. And I always try and look for the best in things we can do. And there's some really, really good people here. And it's proven it with both the sort of community things I'm involved with. So much support. And so much right support, for the right reasons. Not people are not making money; they want to support and, spend money in a facility to support that.
But sometimes, Ian, maybe even the just breaking even is enough just to be able to say we've got that facility.
Yes, yeah, and I mean, if you imagine what an awful front, ride would be without the ice skate rink there, without the swimming pool there. Ride Castle was boarded up for a couple of years, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
You come over on that hovercraft, bung a left.
What a welcome.
Yeah, you go, come on, let's go back to the mainland. Yeah. Let's not hang around here.
Well, you wouldn't say ride, but it's...
No, you probably want to visit Sandown. There's some, similar sort of... you with me? Not that Sandown shouldn't get my full support.
It's the same as everything. We should be up in the profile
of
each town and village or whatever individually.
Yeah, we're one small business, aren't we?
We are.
We're bounded by a piece of water.
No, Ian. We're one big business.
One big business.
Yeah, see, you've gone all like small glass, haven't you?
Well, I do.
Mine's overflowing.
Well, I meant it in a very sort of kindly phraseology, One more little drink for the road, sort of thing.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. But no, you're right. We are one business. We're open for business. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we have got a fantastic... We've got so much here to offer a business that wants to relocate that, where do you start? It would take up a whole other programme. We've got the cycle festivals. We've got all the music festivals. We've got all the, all the...
See, places. That was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That cycling festival.
Yeah, the Perlazumi.
If that becomes an annual event, that is terrific for the island.
Well, if we need one of your listeners to send in 70 grand, we can put it on again this year.
But
I'm sure there's some loose change in the office here. You could...
We've actually proven that we can host a world-class event.
Correct.
That's what that did.
Correct, yeah.
So... You're three quarters of the way there.
Yeah, but we've got the cycling, we've got the walking, all those sort of extra things. If you come here as a business, a technology business, or a Silicon Valley business, you know what a great way to be able to say to your staff, this, you've got all this on your doorstep.
We should have a slogan. We are so much more than the music festivals that are fantastic.
Yeah,
but there's so much. We are so much more than that. And I wasn't into cycling, but I was that weekend, and what a wonderful weekend that was. It's sort of all that moaning and groaning that people did about the roads before.
It was televised as well. We had the sort of country stage for everyone to look at us, and it looked terrific.
What I was going to say is, before she rudely interrupted me, was all of those people that were moaning and groaning, it didn't matter after that, because you did your moaning and groaning, this fantastic event turned up, and there it is. All of that's forgotten about.
I mean, how many people moan about the festival and the best of all? But my argument would be to them, my one point would be to them, okay, they may ship them in to Robin Hill, they may ship them into Seaclose, but who's to say that those young people won't come back later on in life with families? Yeah, I went to Isle of Wight once. Oh, come on, let's go back down there for the week, take the kids. I had a really good time when I was there.
Yeah.
Who's monitoring that? It's not just about... We have to think about repeat business, and I would stick my neck out to say that there's probably a good argument there for the economic impact study to say that these people come back later on. In fact, I spoke to somebody. Sorry, just to interject there. I spoke to somebody at the festival, and they've been.
Really
sorry,
funny.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's catching.
See, said it was okay. Ali said it was okay. So you know, they'd actually they'd gone to Bryston for a couple of nights and gone through to Ventnor, and then they'd come to the festival on the Thursday. So they'd spent the whole week. They decided to spend the whole week. So. Mm. You know, there's indicative of, I think, of people that come and spend some time here.
There's a lot of positivity about rides. You mentioned the water slides. You mentioned the cycle race as well. You got the ice rink is coming back.
Yeah,
you know,
the scooter rally. Carnivals. I mean, festivals.
There's a lot. Is there any one thing that you can put on? You know, the positivity, or is it a town coming together?
Well, I think the interesting thing is when I put the ride slide on with Councillor Wayne Whittle. You know, it was just an idea to actually try and generate something locally that supported local voluntary groups such as Ride Insular Rescue and Ride Aspire and people like that. And I said, we've got this great ability just to shut a street off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's for Carnival, for, you know, and Pearl Izumi, we can do that. So, you know, it's going back to the old sort of parties in the streets, weren't they? You know, it gets everybody out, that community feel. Mm. It benefits the retailers, surely. I mean, there's going to be some that says it was a nightmare, I didn't like it, and Wetherspoons did an awful lot, I didn't do anything. But I'd say, you know, find something else to put in your shop for the day or whatever.
Yeah, too right.
That was terrific, that slide. Yeah. But you could have, the amount of people that were there, I mean, I know the weather wasn't fantastic.
No.
You could have done that the whole weekend easily.
Yeah. And we, you know, I was slightly disappointed, but we made £3,000. But I'm led to believe on a first event from scratch, you know, that is quite good. Mm. So everybody came to the table. Iron and Rhodes came to the table and gave us stuff. HSS came to the table and gave us free fencing. You know, Best of All put on. You know, they paid for all the sponsorship of the site and everything, and then we made £3,000 and were able to distribute that amongst local ride based charities, so voluntary groups, you know. So, you know, for me that ticks all the boxes. We should be supporting local voluntary groups that can keep, you know, facilities like the swimming pool, ice rink, all those other bits and pieces open. You know, the more that can do it the better. You know, they'll get my full support if they need that help. But, you know, we've got to, and again, you know, it was the longest slide in the country, you know, for one day. But as you say, the weather wasn't particularly good. But there was probably, you know, 15 to 20,000 people on the street that day, you know.
Most of the island were out. I mean, because I walked up and down, we went to see it, and it was incredible.
Did you go on it?
No, I didn't go on it.
No.
I didn't go on it. Oh, I didn't fancy going on it, if I'm honest. But it was really nice to watch. And most of the island turned out to go and have a look, because it was incredible to think we had the biggest slide down Union Street and Ride.
Yeah.
How wonderful was that in itself?
Yes. And it's good. Yeah. It's good.
You mentioned earlier on about shutting roads. You know,
yes.
Great. We used to be able to shut roads in Pan when I was a youngster,
you?
But obviously for different reasons.
Fireworks and things.
No, yeah.
Digging holes in the road and stuff when it was about 12.
Let's talk about swimming pool for a bit. Because obviously, you know, that was bought for £1. That's some years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, 1st of December today, actually, is our fourth or fifth anniversary. I always get confused. We took it over in 2011, so it's our fourth anniversary.
Have you seriously not paid for it yet?
No, you're not supposed to say, I didn't know that was going out live.
Yeah, it's going out live.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You just lost £1.
John Metcalfe's going to be right round to...
Pop it in the letterbox in a minute.
Knocking on my door now. No, we had a 125-year lease. They have to put a nominal figure of £1 in. I think I haven't paid it yet, but I'm sure if they come knocking at my door, I'll have to do that. But again, with the swimming pool, exactly the same sort of thing. You know, a lot of love for the swimming pool. It ticks a whole range of boxes, community, social, health and well-being. On the back of that, we run the lifeguarding contract for the beach, you know, which again is good for tourism. You know, it's all intertwined as where I'm sitting from, you know.
Okay.
It's business.
This leads us on nicely then, because you're sorting Ride out, and it's wonderful what you're doing. You and your team of people. Right?
It's going to be called Ian's Land now, I think, going in 2016. It's not, we're dropping Ride.
What about other towns? Like, you know, I know people have been moaning and groaning a bit about Sandown. You know, they used to moan and groan about Ride, but
yes.
So are you going to go around and work?
Listen, there's some other really, really good business people. You've got Ian Ward's dealing with Sandown. There's some other good things going in on and around Sandown, I suspect. I'm happy to help them if I can, but I think you've got a good business mentality down there, and you've got some good shop owners down there. You've got some good elected members. They know what Sandown needs. And if I can help them, I will do. We put on the Sandown Beach lifeguards for a couple of years to try and help them, you know, with some tourism stuff. But, you know, there's some good people there. They just, somebody needs to just come to the fore and say, right, we've got a plan. how are we going to achieve this? You know, and it just needs a couple of one or two physical buildings just to turn round, doesn't it? And that'll be the catalyst. And I was liking it to Disneyland. You know, why didn't we put up a big facade in front of those god-awful buildings for years? You know, just to make it look from the outside as though it was, nicer. I picture yourself maybe in with the Vectis Radar, you know, 40, 50-foot picture.
Yeah.
You know, that would have made some real good attraction, do you not think, to that town?
Kind of, yeah.
It would have given the ability to... Well, you know, you're talking about your curvatures, that, you know.
Yeah.
That would have... You know, that people would have come back to see that, I think.
Mm.
You could have had a hole there for people to chuck sponges at, wet sponges at as well.
Don't you start at all. Don't give him any ideas.
No, but Jim's saying, we could have had some nice pictures of facades around it, even if it was old, the original Victorian building outside the front of it, you know.
Sure.
Just to hide.
Just
to
hide, you know. Come on, it's not difficult, is it?
Do you get? I mean, I do. Whenever I go around the island, you think I used to go to Sandown, and I know that they've had their issues there, and I know that there's a big plan for Sandown. I think there's lots of things going on. There was a big hotel on the seafront.
Yeah, let's hope they succeed.
They've got plans there for that. And that used to be when you used to drive along the front years and years ago, you'd see this great big hotel.
Yeah.
You'd see the golf course flourishing. You'd see all these things. You know, the canoe lake and stuff like that. It's you just look at it now and you just think, yeah, it just needs something. It's getting it.
Yes.
Do you get frustrated that it's not happening quick enough?
I think we all get that slightly frustrated. We're talking about one business. You know, if you do come to the island, you happen to go via certain deprived sort of areas, you think, well, it takes the whole view away from the whole place, doesn't it? You know, and I think at the end of the day, Sandown has got the ability, and I think it will turn itself around. It just needs a few business people to get in there and say, right, where are we going to start? And once that money starts to come in, you'll see a catalyst. It needs unfortunately, it probably needs something like a Costa's, or it needs a Pizza Hut to come in, or... You know, that's the catalyst, isn't it? Once you start to see those buildings come in, you know, you start to see, a change. And we've had that in Ryde. You know, we've got certain sort of mini secondary sort of chains of businesses that come in and sort of are the catalyst for moving those things around.
Okay, now we're getting round to your, you know, your other hat, which is Chamber of Commerce and Business. I mean, it's interesting because there were a number of people that were moaning about Costa's going into Cowes. Does it make a difference? Is it better if we have a Costa's in towns?
I think any business that comes here and produces employment, which again has as we mentioned before, has a secondary spend, then for me that's fine. That's good. I think it would be better to have local coffee shop equivalents if we could have it, and I would certainly support that. But at the end of the day, it's either Costa's possibly in some cases or a charity shop. So, you know, and if you look at a charity shop that's got a reduction of 80% rates and doesn't employ anybody on the site, for me then Costa wins. But there's probably alternatives to Costa's. So, yeah, I would support any sort of national chain coming here. I think it needs to be keeping in with the genre of the town. So if we come back to, say, Union Street, you wouldn't want to see Marks and Spencer's taking over four buildings in Union Street because they're very linear and they're very small. And there's a high concentration in Ryde of very, very small boutiques, specialist shops, you know, something for the ladies, sir. But you and I will struggle to find something in Ryde. You might get something as a Brie, but... So, you know, I think there needs to be... Sandown needs to find... its unique selling point is, and it is those big buildings, I think, and it's the seafront, and it's, you know, and it maybe needs to think like Ventnor. I mean, Ventnor's turned itself around, doesn't it? You know, there's some fantastic places to eat in Ventnor now. It's got all the Metropole down at the seafront, so, you know, hopefully the Winter Gardens will pick up. You know, so if you've got Ventnor can do it and Ryde can do it, then we need, you know, they either take the template from us and, you know, do Santa, or we come and try and help them because they're only just down the road.
Were they allowed, you know, do you get the encouragement to come across?
I've spoken to a couple of people about Sandown. I've spoken to various businesses about Sandown and what we can do. The main thing is to stop things closing, isn't it, to start with?
Yeah.
I don't think anything left to close at Santa, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, you need to be able to have a business plan, and we've got area action plans that are sitting in the council. There needs to be a town scape plan for public realm and how that all knits together, and then we need to lever in some money to just to start one or two items there, one or two big physical buildings, and then I think that'll be the catalyst.
Well, I lived in Ryde from 1990 till 1999, and I wasn't that impressed. And every time I go down there now, I think, well, why couldn't it be like this when I lived down here?
Sure. Did it improve in 1999 then when you
Yeah, when he moved out.
It's almost like when you leave school. Like, oh, they get computers now. He left school.
Really?
You used to have like those things, those beads you have to push across the, you know.
Yeah, they still use them in the Chinese takeaway in Rye.
But you say that when I lived in Sandown. Throughout being a teenager and what have you, Sandown was absolutely the jewel in the crown, wasn't
it?
Yeah, it was. Of the Isle of Wight.
It was, absolutely.
You know, and to go there now, all these years later, and you think, crikey, what on earth happened?
Well, look, people from Sandown, we've had this discussion before, they should take, take something of what's going on here in Ryde, because, yes, they've had their moments too. In 1990, between 1990 and 1999, it wasn't the best place to live in. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
And then in the last sort of 10 years or so, five, six, I don't know, things are changing.
Yeah.
So it can change again.
It can change.
It can change.
Well, we've given some money for the chamber. We run the scratch, you're probably aware, we run the lottery program, we run the scratch cards. We're designating money out of the scratch cards for councils. You know, we've given a couple of £2,000 here and there just to improve public realm, just some small stuff. So, you know, we're doing what we can when we can. The businesses will be the final thruster. You know, they need to come into the area and create employment. That's the key for all this rejuvenation or regeneration, whatever you want to call it. And if that doesn't happen, because coming back to your analogy there, you know, Sandown was full of hotels, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, if you're a young kid, you could go and work in the hotel as a KP or a chambermaid.
You couldn't walk on the pavements at Sandown.
No.
While I was a teenager, you could go into every single hotel, like you say, hotel, guest houses. You could have a job, that went from sort of March till the end of October.
Yeah.
You've got a job to actually be employed in Sandown now, because there's so much that's empty.
Yeah. And it may be that Sandown decides to, and I've got no idea about this, you know, it goes away from tourism, it goes on to something else. You know, it could redesign itself like Ventnor. Ventnor is a foodie town now, isn't it? And antique shops.
Mm.
So, you know, they just need to find something that's going to get the people there. I mean, they've got those big hotels. It'd be great to see them back to a high standard. And I think we need to have a high standard. I emphasise that word, high.
We do. We need to compete with
quality,
what else
bed
is
space,
on offer.
You know,
yeah.
You know, and we've got to make sure it's quality. And, you know, people will pay that. And if you get that sort of income stream, they're not going to worry about coming across on the ferries. They're going to come here and they'll spend some money. And you see that with the scooter rally. You know, they come here for the weekend. And the spend is, you know, £400-£500 for those couple of days. Because,
but most of those scooterists are aged between 40 and sort of 60.
Well,
and they do stay in the hotel and guest houses rather than sleeping
of
in
course,
a tent.
Of course. But if they've got some quality to stay in, they'll do that.
Mm.
There's lots of things to be positive about. Let's just recap, because we've run out of time. We've got about 90 seconds left. If people want to help out with Ryde Ice Rink, what do they do?
So Ryde Ice Rink, they can go onto any of the Facebook sites. So they've got the Ryde Arena site. If you want to donate some time or some money, you know, I'd welcome that, and I would thank everybody for their support so far. And again, with the pool, we have volunteers if you want to come down or just use it. I mean, we're up to capacity with the swimming pool, and again, with Ryde Slide, it'll go forward in 2016. You know, come and pledge your £5 and come and have a really good day out, and all the other facilities. I mean, just use the stuff on your doorstep, but the most important thing is spend money locally.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Local business. You've got to support local businesses. We've got a thing on our website where we support local businesses.
Correct. Good.
I never go to the place, Sainsbury's, and buy meat. I always go to Hamilton's.
There you go, see?
They've got a £10 meal deal there.
Have they?
A chicken, a pound of mince, six sausages and some ham, all for a tenner.
Really?
Yeah, support your local butcher.
Excellent. Support your local butcher.
That's a positive message. Hey, look, thank you for coming in.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's really, you don't dye your hair either, do you?
No, it doesn't. Not a grey hair in sight.
That's a good line for radio, isn't it?
People can see that.
It's really good
to
see.
So I look to the web. Where's the webcam?
It's great news that things are moving in the right direction. And I say, if ever we can help with anything, then don't hesitate.
Well, you're here. You're doing your bit, which is great, isn't it?
We are.
Just keep banging. I'll bring you a drum in.
Yeah.
And I'll put positive on it.
If you go out on the way out, look up, there is one up there.
Is there?
Truthfully, yeah, there's
a drum.
Well,
you should, every time you hear something positive, you should bang it.
Yeah. Thank you. Bang, bang. Time out.